Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay on Friday, July the 11th. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. Coming up, as temperatures hit the high 20s in Kent again today, water bosses announce a hosepipe ban. A car salesman speaks out after a wall collapse, destroying several of his vehicles, and the first electric plane of its kind has crossed the channel to Kent. But first today, a huge fire has broken out at an industrial estate in Stroud, with smoke visible from miles away. Crews were called to the Viridor Recycling Centre on the Medway City Estate just before six this morning. They're urging people in the area to keep doors and windows closed. Well, reporter Finn McDermott from our colleagues at KMTV has been at the scene.
Well, as of right now, the fire is still going. Plumes of smoke are still coming up out of the city estate. The firefighters I've spoken to say that they've been on the scene since about 6 a.m. this morning. Now, across the Medway towns, we've been seeing photos coming in of the plume of smoke rising. It has only seem to get slightly thinner as the day has continued. I've also been speaking to local people, many of whom have been telling me that they've been coming into work as normal. There's many workers actually, it's quite a bizarre sight, just seeming to work as normal despite this huge black pillar of smoke in the background. One gentleman who says he was driving on the M25 to drop his girlfriend to work actually said that he turned around an hour and a half later, came back and the smoke was still there. He said he went down to see what was going on and could see a concrete box where the fire was being put out. Unfortunately, at the moment, local companies are turning us away, so we can't get too close to the fire. But Kent Fire and Rescue have been saying that they're advising people to keep their windows closed and their doors closed and just stay a safe distance away.
At the time of recording today's podcast, four fire engines and a height vehicle were at the scene on Clipper Close. Matt Grimshaw is the owner of nearby SISU Fitness.
Can you tell me your reaction when you first saw the fire?
At first, it was panic. Around 6 a.m, one of my members of staff, one of my coaches, messaged me a video of a loads of black smoke coming from Medway City Estate.
I see. And what's the atmosphere like here now?
So the atmosphere is a little bit more different than normal. It's very quiet at this part of the estate. It seemed a lot of panic getting in, whether we could, you know, get in and out of the estate right. But business as usual at the moment, so it hasn't been too traumatic for the business, getting people in and out of the gym.
Fair enough. And it's been quite a while now. It's been quite a few hours. What do you make of that?
Yeah, so it doesn't look as bad as it was this morning. But I'm very conscious of that still being the atmosphere. We've got all the windows and the doors shut in the gym, and obviously it's a hot 6 day. So we're a little concerned when it gets around to midday that we want to open them windows eventually and get people some air back into the building.
Well, you can see pictures and video of the blaze within the story at Kent Online. Elsewhere, crews have spent 8 hours tackling a wildfire on the Isle of Sheppey. A smoke warning was also issued to residents there near the Sheppey Way yesterday afternoon. The blaze was eventually put out at around 10 last night. And a person's been treated by paramedics following a fire in Whitstable that's thought to have been caused by a laptop battery charger. The blaze broke out in a bedroom on Nightingale Avenue yesterday evening. Three fire engines were sent to put out the flames.
Kent Online News.
Next today, and a hosepipe ban has been announced for a large part of Kent as the hot weather puts pressure on supplies. South East Water say in recent weeks demand has increased to record levels for this time of year. They're asking customers not to use hose pipes or sprinklers as they continue to monitor the situation. Well, I've been chatting to Douglas Whitfield, who is the Water Supply Director at South East Water.
And this is really driven by two factors. You know, it's been the driest spring since, I think, 1893. We're now just entering our third heat wave, which looks set to be a long period. And this is coming back off the back of some issues in Kent in the Whitstable area over the last couple of weeks, which have, you know, really tested us with the challenges that we've seen. So it's about protecting the environment, making sure we're only taking the minimum water that we need to, but it's also about, you know, really encouraging customers to reduce their demand as we head through this hot period to make sure we don't see a repeat of any issues that we've had earlier.
Can you give us some sort of idea, Douglas, as to how much water we have been using during these hot spells and how much extra pressure that's put on the system?
Yeah, sure. So on average, we produce 550 megalitres a day or millilitres a day. Over the last few weeks, that demand has spiked up to 680, 690 millilitres. litres of water a day. That's the highest levels of demand we've seen this time of the year so far. So that's an extra 120 megalitres a day, which is, you know, the size of adding, you know, two or three extra towns onto our system during a period where everything is at its most, you know, stressed from an asset point of view with the hot weather and working very hard to keep up. So it's been a very challenging period.
Of course, when the restrictions come in, I mean, you're basically asking people to use their common sense and not use hose pipes to, say, water the gardens and things like that. But it is all down to people's goodwill, isn't it? You're not going to have people out patrolling to try and catch people out.
That's not what we want to do. And I would just remind people, this is about preserving the precious resource of drinking water that we've got. And we can talk about enforcement and things like that. But really, the message is, you know, we need everybody to work together to reduce demand, to make sure we don't see any issues in the environment or with customer supplies.
People, particularly when there were those issues, Douglas, in Whitstable, Herne Bay, were questioning the infrastructure, whether it was up to scratch and that sort of thing. What can you tell me about that? And is it down to literally the amount of water we have, or is it to do with infrastructure and getting enough water to people's homes?
Combination of lots of factors, and if I just take very briefly, the last 5 years have been very challenging for the water industry, and particularly for us in the southeast of England. We always planned long-term planning that takes into account, you know, climate change predictions and things like that. Obviously, at the last 5 years, we had the COVID lockdown, which the impact of that for the Southeast Water Region was a change in the way that people use water and a change in the way that the population moves around the region. At the same time, we've seen more weather extremes in the last 5 years than any climate change predictions thought would happen. They've all happened much more quickly. So a lot of those stresses and pinch points that all the planning assumptions showed were 15, 20 years away have come forward. So we're now trying to catch up and make sure our infrastructure can deal with those challenges going forward as they look set to continue. As I said, we're on the third heat wave this year already. And we're doubling the amount of investment. You know, we're just entering a five-year cycle at South East Water and the water industry. And during that five-year period, we're being spending double the amount we have in the last 5 years, which was £1 billion. So we'll be spending £2 billion investing in the network. But it does take time for that investment to come through and for those infrastructure projects to be put into the ground.
How long do you think these restrictions are going to last? I was just looking at my weather app and you can see a few bits of rain maybe towards the end of next week. How much rain, though, do we actually need for you to think these restrictions are no longer needed?
It's very difficult to say at the moment, and long-term weather forecasts are still not that reliable at the moment. And the long-term forecasts are really for July to remain a fairly dry month. Certainly not expecting enough rain to give us any recharge. So it's difficult to say when they'll come off at the moment, and obviously we are looking at the weather and the forecasts as much as we can, but they'll certainly be on for the foreseeable future and for the month of July and probably likely into August as well.
This all comes as a heat health alert for Kent is upgraded to amber. There are concerns vulnerable people could be particularly affected by the warm weather, putting extra pressure on health services. We're being urged to check on those who may be affected. Meantime, there's confusion among water companies over who's responsible for a leak in Westrum that's been going on now for 2 weeks. Residents say around 40 litres of what appears to be drinking water is spilling across Puddle Dock Lane in Toys Hill every minute. South East Water, Thames Water and Sutton and East Surrey Water have pointed the finger at each other. Well, locals want to see them work together to get it fixed.
Kent Online reports.
The A20 is back open today following more work to investigate the scene of a police shooting. A man in his 30s was injured by officers during an arrest in Hollingbourne on Monday night. At least four suspicious devices have been found in the area and we're told searches are continuing. A Kent vicar has been suspended from the church after admitting sexually assaulting a woman. Reverend Bob Weldon used to work at Holy Trinity in Folkestone. The 68-year-old has appeared in court and is due to be sentenced in September. Nine members of an organised crime gang have been sent to prison after cocaine and weapons were seized in Kent. Investigators say the supply chain was to distribute drugs on a wholesale scale and extended throughout the county. The suspects have all been found guilty and will serve a combined total of more than 45 years. Next, and a car salesman has told us he could be forced to close his business in Sittingbourne after a wall collapsed onto a number of vehicles. Tom Bowles reckons the damage to his fleet could reach £120,000. He runs T Bowles Vehicle Sales in Church Street and found 20 cars under the fallen rubble when it happened on Wednesday. He's been chatting to reporter Joe Crosley.
Nothing hit the wall, it just fell down to its own negligence, really. But yeah, it was like somebody had set a bomb off on it.
Right. So can you tell me about some of the cars that have been damaged? I can see over your shoulder we've got a blue Ford Fiesta. Can you just tell me about some of the damage?
Well, that Fiesta over there, that's dead, that's finished, that one. The one next to it again, that's pretty much completely written off. We've got, 11, 12 that are write-offs, and then we've got 8 that we may be able to salvage if the insurance company pays out and the insurance bill isn't excess. We've got 2 cars here that are sold that potentially were meant to go out, one on the day of the incident, one later in the week, but obviously now aren't able to be sold. So again, financial impact straight away there.
Now, the wall is right near a little car park and part of that has been cordoned off. We've actually had a statement through from the supermarket. They say, following a partial collapse of a boundary wall in the car park of our Sittingbourne store, a section of the car park has been temporarily closed off as a safety precaution. Thankfully, no one was hurt and the store remains open and trading as usual.
Kent Online reports.
A school in Tunbridge Wells has issued a warning to parents following reports 2 men tried to lure a child into their car. It's said to have happened outside St Augustine's Catholic Primary in Wilman Road on Monday. Staff say they're taking it extremely seriously and are working with the relevant authorities to support any ongoing investigations. Now, the first electric aircraft of its kind has crossed the Channel to Kent. The 2-seater plane touched down in Lydd before making the onward trip to Rochester Airport. A team of 4 pilots, aged between just 17 and 23, are involved in the project to reduce CO2 emissions and noise pollution. Bartholomew Hall from our colleagues at KMTV has been chatting to pilots Gabriel Tremolay and Elizabeth Glue.
That was actually quite exciting. We were feeling pretty well in the airplane. It was really satisfying to see the coast, the English coast, coming closer and closer as the minutes were passing by, and the feeling of landing on the other side of the channel was really satisfying and rewarding. So we are really happy to have experienced this, and proud of doing this.
How easy is it to fly compared to normal aircraft?
Well, it's not very different from another normal engine aircraft. The main differences are obviously the noise. It's way less noisy. Also, the filling is a little different with the engine, obviously. Power is there instantly. Another difference is usually on a normal plane, the propeller would slow down the airplane a little when we go to idle. This effect is not reproduced on this aircraft because of it's a completely free spinning prop, so it doesn't break as much. It's kind of a glider. It can glide very well, which is an advantage, but also an inconvenience when it comes to landing, because you really need to manage your speed, because you cannot slow it down easily. So,
and lots of people are used to sort of electric cars now, and they know that. Was it the mileage anxiety or is it range anxiety?
Yeah.
That's a similar thing that you experience in the plane as well.
Yeah, so we don't have this sort of anxiety, as you call it, because, well, everything is planned, so we know if we depart from an airfield, we're going to make it to destination, unless there's something wrong, like maybe some unexpected weather, in which case we have no return point. It means past this point, we cannot go back to your departure airfield, so we need to commit to either something in between, and if there's nothing in between those two airfields, we're going to have to go to destination whatsoever. Anyways, that's the little difference. We have limited range, but other than that.
And the other fascinating thing as well, and I'll come back to yourself, is about the sound. You said it's obviously a lot less noisy than a conventional aircraft. What sort of things can you hear when you're flying that you usually wouldn't be able to?
You can hear the sound of the propeller with the wind, so this is not completely noiseless, but the reduction is 80% less compared to a normal airplane, so it is quite significant. And basically in the airplane you could just take off the headset and then talk to your friend sitting beside you. So this is the massive difference between a normal aircraft and this one.
Kerry Wilmot is from Nebo Air, who are also involved in the project.
We have 9 of the Velis Electros, which we introduce into flying schools to support the decarbonisation of pilot training. when we heard about the fantastic electro tour and what these young guys were doing, we decided that it would be good to reach out to them to collaborate to offer the charging infrastructure within the UK. Each aircraft, when it comes in, has its own charging system. So if an airfield is set up with a three-phase supply, you decide where you're flying into, and we have been able to deliver the charging system into each of those aircrafts so they can come in, reset, charge, and go to their next airfield, and not have to worry about constantly loading and offloading for their charging infrastructure.
Yeah, I think because there is a lot of sort of concern about the aviation industry and when we think about climate change and carbon emissions and things like that. So is this kind of a stepping point for the future of the industry?
Very much so. A lot of it is changing a mindset. You know, if it's not broken, don't try and fix it. We've got some incredible people within the UK and the world looking at the bigger fossil fuels for airlines, etc., and how we go forward. But Pipistrel did an incredible job of producing the aircraft 4 years ago. It's still the world's only certified, and this can decarbonise pilot training. Every young person, whether they're going to be an airline pilot, a fighter jet, or just conventional happy flyer, will put approximately 5.5 tonne of CO2 into the atmosphere during the journey of their pilot's licence. If we can address that with not just the emissions, but also noise pollution on airfields, especially at weekends, etc., this aircraft does it.
Next, and there are plans to expand the size of a housing estate near Ramsgate. Developers want to build 135 homes in Manston, along with a new village green and local shop. We're told 40 properties will be classed as affordable. A decision is due by September. A Kent dad who plays in a Madness tribute band is going to honour his daughter by performing at a festival more than 2 years after she died. Caitlin Goodsall was just 17 when she passed away in 2023 after being diagnosed with a complicated heart condition when she was just 8 weeks old. Preston Summerfest in Canterbury is raising money for Demelza Children's Hospice, which supported Caitlin and her family while she was alive. Well, Dad Barry has been telling reporter Cara Simmons how he and his band Certified Madness are scheduled to appear.
I saw the festival come up, and they was I can't even remember if they was actually asking for bands or I was just trying to sort of like tout some business. But I just sort of like saw it was for Demelza, and the guy whose name escapes me now, I'll get it to you. I just emailed him and just said, look, we're Madness, Certified Madness, we're a tribute act, love to do a gig there. And when we, if we can do the gig, I see it's for Demelza, I said, and he was saying, how much? And I gave a price and I said, but I personally won't take any money for that. And I gave him a backstory of Caitlin and how she was with Demelza. And he goes, oh, this is perfect. He said, you know, this fits into what we're all about for this. Do you mind if we do a little bit about Caitlin? So they put a lovely, well, I sent them a write-up. They put that on their page. And then when I went to the band, I said, guys, you know, it looks like we've got a gig here. I'm going to reduce the money, but I'm not going to take a cut because it's Caitlin for me. And then there was all of them, one by one, on the text, which is, no, we're not doing it for money. No, we're all doing it for nothing. It's going to be, so I'll go back to the people who organise it. So, right, the whole band are doing it for nothing. So you've got us for free for the day. So, yeah, it was good.
Brilliant. And obviously, it's such an important charity. What was Demelza like to you and to Caitlin when she was, you know, during her time?
Yeah, fantastic. Right from very early, because we never, because we always thought hospice, it's for children that are not going to be with us very long. And we always thought that Caitlin wasn't that ill. And we always thought, oh, well, you know, I don't know if we actually fit into what you're offering us. Because I think it was the doctors that suggested it right at the beginning. Anyway, so Demelza said, no, you're exactly the sort of children we want, you know, child we want. And I've also got a son, Samuel. He's 22 now. He's in the army. He's a medic. And it was nice for him because they had sibling days as well. So Caitlin would go up there and she could basically boss him around and do what she wanted. So she could play music all day, go and watch a movie, order what food she wanted, watch TV in bed. have a story, have a bath, go in the swimming pool. She just loved it all. And I think they enjoyed it because she conversed with them on quite an intelligent level, because she was really switched on. They enjoyed her company. She enjoyed being there. And Samuel, he also got a little bit out of it as well.
The festival is going to be happening on the 22nd of August. Other acts include Top Loader and Hullabaloo. Again, school's getting a top award today for the work it does to promote outdoor play and learning. The Gold Award is going to Herne Bay Infants, who've been working for it over the past 18 months. They've got the mayor going along and are inviting families to join the celebrations. And a three-day festival promoting children's literature is getting underway in Canterbury. The idea is to celebrate storytelling and engage children of all ages in books. Events are running across the city between now and Sunday.
Kent Online Sports.
Cricket first up, and Kent will be hoping to maintain their improved form in the T20 Blast tonight. The Spitfires are taking on Somerset at Canterbury. It follows Wednesday night's 2-wicket win over Sussex Sharks. Plays due to start at 6:30. Staying with cricket, and England will continue batting on day 2 of the third test against India. Zach Crawley didn't have a great day yesterday. He was out for just 18 at Lord's. The hosts were due to resume today on 251 for 4. On to football, and Kent's Alessia Russo is due to be back in action for England at the Women's Euros this weekend. They take on Wales on Sunday after beating the Netherlands 4-0 on Wednesday night. Elsewhere in football, it's another pre-season friendly for Gillingham this weekend. They're hosting Reading at Priestfield tomorrow. It follows a 1-0 win over Dover Athletic on Tuesday night. Manager Gareth Ainsworth says they're looking forward to being at home.
It'd be a tough challenge. It'd be great to be back at Priestfield and see the fans coming in, you know, and I can't wait to see where we are at home. Nice new pitch, let's put one over on a League One side. But no, at the moment, I'm pleased with where we are.
And their first game proper of the new League Two season will be against Accrington Stanley on August the 2nd. And finally, in rugby, Kent's Ben Earl is in the starting lineup for the British and Irish Lions' final warm-up game in Australia. They're taking on an Australia and New Zealand Invitational 15 in Adelaide. The county's Alex Mitchell will be on the bench. Play will start at 11 o'clock our time on Saturday. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk, and whilst you're on the website, you can also sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Nicola Everett, or one word, at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.